Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Christina.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you?
Calm down now after that game. So not too bad.
Yeah, some unnecessary palpitations were brought on by our club, but we'll talk about that. With me is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm still feeling a bit jittery, to be honest. So yeah, thanks for that, Essendon. Really needed a hard stopper this afternoon. Tonight. Sorry, I'm quite under the weather still, so I might be a bit flummoxed today. Plus the game, you know.
You probably should have stayed home. I did. I've got a bit of a head cold, and I was soft.
How is that to sum up the Y chromosome and the X chromosome in one fell swoop? I'm as sick as a dog. I've worked 70 hours this week, just gone, delivered wedding cakes this morning, and still made it to the game. I can barely freaking breathe. I'm on all the drugs. And a little old Solution, it's got a bit of a head cold, he says. And he stayed home.
Yeah, he's a bit precious.
What preciousness? Exactly, Christina.
Yeah, guilty as charged. But at least I made it to this podcast on time. So the architect, I suspect he's trying to prove a point, because listeners last week will remember that he left the Richmond game. He and Mrs. Architect left the Richmond game 10 minutes early or 5 minutes early, missed the end. So he must be paying the price for actually staying to the end of a game for once in his fucking life. That'll teach him. But anyway, that's my chance at deflection. All right, we're going to keep this one relatively brief. I must admit, my confidence for next week has taken a bit of a hit. Because at quarter time, I'm like, this is perfect. We just need a bit of a bruise-free game. Not, you know, a nice, easy 40, 50-point win, just almost like a training run. There were signs in that first quarter. We gave away some soft goals. But then what the fuck happened after quarter time? Who wants to, Christina, do you want to start? What was that?
Gosh, I would say defensively, I think we're tired. I think, you know, some teams are already on their bye. We've got, you know, this game and then another game to go. I think that's probably one of our poorer defensive efforts for the game, for the year, really. And it's just, you know, North Melbourne were moving the ball quickly. We were slow to react, and they, you know, had their forwards were doing a really good job and outmarking us. I think we just fell asleep at the wheel a bit in the second quarter, but not a bit, a lot. But they just outran us, really.
No. Well, I mean, it's always hard for the back line when the ball's coming down quickly. But I think the criticism is valid. I criticise them on 2 points. One was we gave up easy goals. But the other one is, I reckon, you know, I hesitate to say arrogance or drinking our own bathwater or using those sorts of terms, but we went for the Hollywood pass a few times, particularly coming out of defence, and turned over the ball with some shocking cough-ups, just like Fiona's coughing right now on mute. And I reckon that there were some shocking errors that just gave them easy goals.
Oh, absolutely. And even their kicks forward into the forward 50, if we didn't mark it, we couldn't bring it to ground, and it just rebounded straight back out again. So our forward pressure wasn't great. we weren't locking the ball in like we have done in past games. It was that they were getting out way too easily.
Oh, our forward line.
Yeah, coming out of our forward line. And a lot of their goals were from rebounds.
How badly do we need the big red-headed man, Fiona, back?
Don't worry, Weeds. He's on his way. You just hang in there, Sammy. You have done an amazing job, and I'm going to go to my death on this. I'm sorry, but this man has held down that forward line solo for 12 weeks. He's had every game, he's had 2 to 3 of the best team's defenders on him. Clearly, he's down on confidence from missing those 3 goals against Richmond. He hasn't, I don't know if he's even kicked one since, to be honest. But I won't have, yes, he had a poor game today, but I won't have any criticism against Wiedemann. That's just, honestly, it's just weak because he has done a great job holding up that forward line. But it's just me being at the ground. A lot of missed tackles, or were they just evading tackles very well?
Yeah, heaps of missed tackles. Yeah. I agree. But I think you're letting I think it's valid to criticise Wiedemann this game. I just thought when you're getting your hands to the ball, you got to mark it.
It's his confidence. He's 22. Don't forget, he's still a baby, basically. And it's his confidence, because usually he marks that. He marks that in the first 10 weeks. He's marking it. But since the Richmond game, he missed those 3 goals that he should have kicked. Since then, he has been down on confidence. It's all about the confidence. And today he was double teamed multiple times.
Yeah.
But yes, because of course.
Because North also slowed our ball movement forward. Like we were doing
That's exactly right.
Gave him no chance whatsoever.
No space for him to lead into. We bombed. There was no lowering of eyes into the forward line. All we were doing all day was bombing it high and hoping that Wiedemann against 2 players. And he had his hands to the ball multiple times and he just got punched away, knocked away, or he dropped it. But, yeah, I think it's incredibly, incredibly harsh on the guy.
Yeah. Do we need to give Brett Ratten credit? He's a good coach, I'm telling you.
I said at one point to my friend, they played our game style against us.
Mm.
Chip, 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 and then fast. They were doing that to us, and that's our game plan.
Mm.
Whereas we were doing the Carlton thing of chip, 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 then Bob Long, and, I mean, we'll talk about Phillips, I'm sure. He did all right in the hit-outs. He did some things good, but one of my frustrations with him was in, and not just him, of course, but, you know, being behind in the forward line when you're that big and strong, at least get in front, at least bring the ball to ground. And we, you know, we missed the Waller as well. Like, I know we didn't miss last week's Waller, but we missed the Waller of a couple of weeks ago or in these first few games of just a guy who can hold the ball in the forward line. And when the ball hits the ground, he's dangerous. And I thought Guelphy came into it later, but first half, our small forwards, it's just like non-existent. Forward line was rubbish. We're kind of the two ends of the ground. They normally say the midfield's where you win and lose the game. I thought it was the bookends of the ground where we were down today.
I thought Menzies was good, I thought. I thought he had a good game. He did a lot of pressure stuff off the ball too. I watched him off the ball a bit. Guelphy had a shocker. I think his pressure was really poor. In the first quarter, he was jogging. Pretend jogging to chase an opponent. It was very poor. Multiple people around us were commenting too.
Well, I couldn't see that at home because I was on the couch in the dressing gown with the hot cup of chocolate.
Wow. I say wow one more time.
But, do you need me to make you a hot toddy or something, you know?
Yes, please. That would be nice. Little ginger tea with some lemon and honey. But
a little bit of whiskey.
Yes, that's right, just a nip. But I thought Menzies was good too, but he wasn't playing that small forward. He wasn't doing that small forward thing because he wasn't really playing. He was kind of coming up the ground a little bit. What he did was good. But we pretty much when the forward line would bomb, they'd either mark it or the ball would hit the ground and we weren't keeping it in. It was just sweeping away. So I thought we struggled in the air, struggled when it hit the ground.
It's funny, in the first quarter we kept it in very well. And then the second, and everyone was happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Energy around, everyone was calm, happy. It's like setting up to be a very enjoyable day. And then it was a totally different game from the second quarter onwards. And you know, kudos to, again, Radden, Brett Radden, for did he beat Brad Scott in the coach's box today?
Well, in the first quarter, he didn't, you know, Merritt had free reign. He had like 18 disposals in the first quarter. And then I think he only finished with like 30 for the game. So in the second quarter, I think they decided to tag him. And that could have been the real difference with getting the ball forward. So, you know, that perhaps Ratten did get the points over Brad.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we really played fight. But I would say in the second and third quarter, in that hour of football, we played about 5 minutes of good footy when we kicked, what, four goals in a row. The rest was pretty average. And then even in the last quarter, it was probably just some individual pieces of play and some class at a couple of moments. And the whole Phillips Draper thing, just pause there for a moment. Phillips really, like, he does all right in the hitouts, but having him in does allow Draper to really have a final push in that last quarter. And he was doing some harvesting in that last quarter, you know, pushing the ball forward. He does will us forward, Draper, in a way that maybe wouldn't happen in the last quarter as much if he didn't have more of a chop out through the game. I don't know. Weird game, man. Weird game. Very frustrating. I can't. What were the fans doing? Were they losing their shit? Because it's, you know, we're normally calm, of course, as a supporter base.
Everyone around me was very nervous, like very nervous. So even when, like, Phillips had that kick for goal, everyone was just like, oh, Jesus, oh, please. You know, after his last assist that was meant to be for goal. And we had a few, like, I had a few loud vocal North supporters who were trying to get up and about, and yeah, a lot of nervousness.
A lot of moans and groans around me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of better late than never, the architect joins us.
I thought you were about to say moans and groans.
Yeah, well, that too. Well, this will teach you, architect. Don't stay to the end of the game, mate. What are you doing?
I can't win. It's all I say is whoever designed Doc Lands needs to be a good kick in the head, because seriously, talk about an absolute fucking disaster to try and get out of that place after a game.
Where did you park? Did you park in the ground?
No. I thought I'd be smart and park slightly further down from the ground in the Woolies car park down the road, but it doesn't help.
You've got to get out of the siren, otherwise you're stuffed.
Yeah, no, good advice.
You just can't find that sweet spot, can you, mate? Between, you know, leaving early and, I'll tell you what, how did you go? Did you sit down, Mrs. Architect, this week and talk to her about that Richmond game after the podcast?
We've had words before the podcast, I'll be honest. I think she's contrite in regards to the whole affair.
Oh, really? That's unlike Mrs. Architect. Just for the listeners, Mrs. Architect just gave me the middle finger. Well, glad you're here, mate. So I was going to go towards the herd, Henneman. People happy for me to do it?
Yep.
All right. Well, in terms of good players, I mentioned earlier we were unpacking our back line and what the hell was going on, Architect. Because at certain points it wasn't good. I thought Ridley deserves a lot of credit. He was just class. You forget he's only 24. That guy.
His two marks he took, his two screamers, they were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He was really good. Obviously, Merritt was good, particularly early. But I think today, you know, we do forget we've got Parrish out, Setterfield out. Basically, Scheel may as well not have played. And now he's listed as injured. And just pausing on that, why did we play him if he wasn't fit? Did he look fit at the ground?
I'll be honest, I barely noticed him. And he does wear some bright boots, so he's fairly easy to see. But yeah, barely saw him at all today.
I thought what he did do was bad. Sorry.
He normally at least has that sort of pep in his step. You know, he's got an ability to run away from the pack, and when he's playing bad, it's normally butchering the ball. But today, he just didn't look fit. So I'll give him a pass, but maybe that was another mistake made by the coaching staff.
No, I think he was fit. He just looked unconditioned. Like, he looked like he'd been not doing anything footy related for 3 weeks, which is the truth. He's been off his ankle for 3 weeks, or his calf, or whatever he did to his foot. So he looked unconditioned, fumbled. So he was fit. He was 100% fit, I thought, but unconditioned.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought Langford, obviously with 4 goals, was good. Hep played another good game. That's a number of weeks in a row now. But the thing that I really like is I like the way it's some of our younger guys that seem to be putting their hand up when the heat's on. And Perkins was good in the last quarter. Caldwell and also Martin again showed his class with Wood. But I'm going to give it to Ridley, the herd. Anyone want to argue?
No, hard to disagree with that. Probably just call out, I thought Guelphy had a great last quarter.
We had the Guelphy debate. I thought he did too, but Fiona basically said he was rubbish and pretending to try.
All right.
I might be paraphrasing.
Let's paraphrase that quite a bit. I thought I'd never said anything about his fourth quarter, but I thought the first half of the game, I thought he was fake chasing a bit. I didn't think his forward pressure was like it was. And I still think he's finding his feet. I listened to the interview on the way home that he did on the radio. Oh, I don't know what station it was, but he said, "Oh, I'm still finding my form. I'm blowing." He said, "I'm like extremely exhausted." So, you know, he's still finding his feet too. He was out with a 6 week hammy. So, you know, we'll give him a pass mark. But for me, Caldwell or Ridley for the herd, hands down. They had moments that just turned the game, saved the game, basically. Merritt was brilliant, obviously, in the first, but Caldwell and Ridley both had real profoundly important, vital moments that either stopped North goals, led to our goals, calmed, you know, it was obvious we didn't have a wealth of leadership across the field to just slow everything down when it needed to be and to, you know, compose themselves. But Caldwell and Ridley, I thought, really did really good things in that space. So, yeah.
I reckon another guy I should shout out is Nick Hind. I didn't think he was too bad today. Had a couple of moments that were iffy, but he was all right. Yeah.
On that, he's kicking into the forward 50 is actually very, very good.
He was choosing the right option today. which he sometimes has chosen the wrong option, or the worse than the wrong option a lot of the time, or he's held on to the ball. Today it was, yeah, he was hitting targets. And also, got to shout out D'Ambrosio for the winning goal. Christina, you just went yes and
little super sub. I mean, maybe be good to get a full game into him. He's been sub a few times, so
I think he's pulled together a body of work that suggests he probably deserves a game. Mm-hmm. All right, on to the other side of the coin. Cirque had another wonky game. They did a couple of good things, but you know, prior to last week, I always felt safe with Cirque. I don't feel safe anymore. I feel like I'm in one of those little Buddy Holly planes when it's the engine's starting to cut out and it's going, and I feel like I'm about to like crash into a mountain. And I know they did have a nice red carpet, the North midfield at times, with little pressure, missed tackles, which you mentioned earlier, Fiona. But yeah, he worried me today. It's just a temporary blip, isn't it?
Hope so. He looked manhandled, to be honest. I don't know. Like, I know he's kind of been switched between Larky and the hyphen. What's his name? That guy with a hyphen. Coleman, whatever. But like, they were just throwing him around behind play. So him being able to position, he just couldn't.
He misses Baldwin, I'm telling you. He misses his running mate. Our defence hasn't looked as good since we dropped him.
Did we jinx him? Did I jinx him accidentally on the forecast?
Yes. Yeah, what did you say?
I said he got beaten by Oscar Allen. What, you don't remember? Were you there? Who did I do the forecast with?
If you don't realise I got dementia now, you'll never realise. I don't remember what I did 2 minutes ago.
Dementia, head cold, hot chocolate, warm blanket. What? For the listeners, I know you can't see him, but he's not in his 60s. Let me just tell you that. Jeez. Anyway, Paul Dirk, he's been, but as we say, he'll grow from this. This is where he grows, by getting comprehensively beaten. And he just needs to have a little nice little reset, because he's got his biggest test next week. Kerno and Mackay.
Yeah, that's why we're going to get to that. Yeah, that is what worries me.
He's gonna have nightmares for 5 days until 6 days until we get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Phillips did get the hit outs he battled. We spoke about it earlier. I just don't know we can keep carrying the two ruckmen in the way that we are. But I'm going to give it, sorry Fiona, I take your point that he's been the Lone Ranger, and he's probably tired and his confidence is a bit down, but I'm giving the Henneman to Weedman. He had four possessions, one mark, should have had about six marks. And I don't mind to go, like, missing shots for goal is one thing, but when you're that tall and you're in position to take the mark and you actually do the hard work, you find the space, you double back, you rise up, you're there, your hands are on the ball and you drop it. And I said at one point, it was like they were like having a drop mark off Ian Phillips at one point, because they're both getting their hands to the ball and it was just hitting the ground. But that's Wiedemann's. You've got to take your Henneman medicine, mate, I'm afraid.
All I was saying is that perspective is important. I'm not saying he didn't have a bad game. I'm just saying that perspective is important with him. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But he needs to bounce back. And, you know, maybe with two metre back, it will change things for him. Anyone else? I mean, Christina, you got anyone you want to talk about that hasn't been spoken about?
Oh, not really. I mean, I spent most of the game trying to, I was standing room, so I was just trying to dodge my head around backs and poles. So, you know, I missed probably a good chunk of the game because of that. So, sounding all good, I think.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry, KO was glitching like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I missed. I was behind most of the game. You just accept it. Anyone else, Architect or Fiona, that you want
to? I don't know if it was just me at the ground, but I thought maybe it was. I thought Andy McGrath seemed a bit of a loose cannon today at some points, but it's probably consistent across half the back line, but he just seemed to be spray and hope. There were a couple of times he just kicked it to no one other than North Melbourne, which was frustrating because he is a good user of the ball, thinks it through. Other than it looked like the old blaze away again tactic kind of was creeping back into his game.
I actually notice that.
I thought same with Redmond. I thought he had a poor game too. From the ground, on the ground's perspective, a lot of the times he was on, what's that player name? Spice, is it Spice?
Spice.
Is that his name?
No, that was a correspondent joke then. I said Spice Girl. It's terrible. I should ban myself.
But is that his name? Spicer or something?
Spice. Yes, I think it is Spicer, yeah.
And he was giving him so much space, that kid turned him inside out multiple times. Multiple times, Redmond, and I thought there were moments you mentioned, you know, a few Hollywood moments solution. I thought both Redmond and Draper had a few of those moments, bit Hollywood.
Yeah. That's that, and that was kind of the turning point. Like, you never give a sucker an even break, and we quarter time we should have gone on with the game. It should have been a comfortable win, but just these errors that started to creep in, they got their tail up. And we predicted, yet again, on Fiona's forecast, we really are making the folks money out there because we said it'd be a close game and we'd just win. And it's a game that in the past we probably would have lost. Proven to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope we'll get to the game a little bit shortly next week, but I just hope it's a wake-up call that they need because... Mm-hmm. I think Scott could – there were some moments. There was a Hobbs moment where I thought he just pulled out of the contest slightly. At one point, there were a number of moments that I think on the video, when they're looking during the week, they'll be like, you know, slinking down in their chairs and just trying to avoid the eye contact of the coach.
I do want to say, even if you think back to the Richmond game, like us, we had a lot of skill errors there. We had a lot of skill errors against West Coast. So it's not unusual for us as a team at the moment to make these silly little mistakes. And so it's just going to have to be something that they just keep working on. Like it's not going to magically – we're not going to play like the Bulldogs did last night. Or the night before. We're not, you know, it's going to take time to kind of get the players in sync with each other.
Are we talking, is this learnings you're referring to here?
Oh, no, I don't want to use that word. It's just hard work. It's just hard work. That's all it is. It's just hard work and the team getting to know each other and getting to know their running patterns and where they go. The more games they play together, the better they'll get.
True. I must admit, that's why I love like Martin and Perkins, the two young guys who usually use the ball really well. And they're kind of leaders in that area of the field. They just have that touch of class.
Mm.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about?
I don't know if you've touched on it already, but I thought just in regards to things that I've started to see creeping back in, we will be again beaten. I thought we were beaten in the centre clearances today. We looked pretty woeful. We get the first tap and put it straight down their throat, but we looked like we were, as you said, solution holding off a little bit and trying to put the body over the ball. North Melbourne definitely wanted it more from at the ground. That's what I could see. They're just a little trying to be too cute. Not another. We're trying to win it off half back instead of trying to hold it and lock it down in the forward line.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. It wasn't really until like the last 5 minutes when the panic button set in that they started really focusing on the centre's clearances and really locking the ball in.
As I said in that last half, I reckon we played, you know, in 60 minutes of football, we probably played 10, 15 minutes of decent footy. Yeah. The rest of it was pretty putrid. So is this one we watch the replay? I don't think so, do we? Maybe a few minutes in the last quarter. Yeah, it's not in our head.
Because it feels like a different game when you watch it from being at the ground and then watching it on TV. So I'll watch it for that, and also always I rewatched last week, but I won't rewatch that again. Usually I give the wins a really good going, but the West Coast win, I will not. I just watched it once.
Yeah. All right, nothing else? Ready to move on? All right. We mentioned the start architect. We're going to keep it relatively brief. I'm going to pause Blues Watch this week because we play them this week. I think that's the prudent approach.
Smart. And smart.
And there was some wonderful fodder, but it would be, I think that would be foolish. History tells me otherwise. I tell you what, if I did the OGs, listeners may remember the song Overrated Blues that I did. I tell you what, if we win next week, I'm going to play it live on the podcast. That's my promise. I think, didn't I do a podcast live? Didn't I do a song live once?
Don't think so.
I think I might have. Didn't I do Dear Gumby? Anyway, I'll do that next week if we win. But we're going to retire. Yeah, just pause on Blues Watch. So going to next week and talking about the game, I mean, yet again, we're playing a team that's got 2 days rest on us, which given we've got some injuries and given how I agree, not just Shiel, I thought, you know, probably tiredness does need to be considered. To your point earlier, Christina, about tiredness. What do we think? I'm now worried. And maybe that's a good thing, because nothing would have been worse than either the supporters, but particularly the players, going in overconfident. What do we reckon, Architect? Firstly, do you foresee any changes?
From a lineup perspective? I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I feel like you need to keep the two ruckmen in there. I'm just wondering, with a short back line, I feel like the ruckman should be spending a little bit more time in the back half than in the forward half next week. Just a big body to try and shut one of them, you know. They're two big forwards out. But, look, if we play like we did today, even with Carlton's woeful kicking a goal, I reckon they'll win it.
Do we know how the players went in the VFL? There were some notable returns. Your man, Fiona Kelly, came back. Young Tsatsis, is that how we say it?
Tsardis.
Yeah, but is that how you really say it? We need some Greeks on the podcast to tell us. We had the new bloke. Is the guy that got drafted through the week, Hunter?
Yep. Both of them kicked their first goal, which was good to see. Apparently, Waller was fantastic. Apparently, his work rate was very, very good. Kelly got through, which is all I really care about, which is good. But no doubt 2 meter Peter will play next week. He virtually told someone today that if he gets through this week's training, which touch all the fucking wood in your house,
yeah,
shake your heads, that he'll be selected. There's no doubt in my mind he will play against Carlton, and I think he should. But if he does, do you still keep Phillips in? Or do you, because I'd be a little apprehensive to make him do ruck work first game back 2 meter.
Well, maybe you put Wiedemann in the ruck.
Yeah, true. So Phillips, see you later. Straight swap Phillips for 2 meter for mine. And Draper just needs to have a fucking, needs to step up and do better and run out the game.
Although Draper's been injured, like, he didn't really train at all this week by the sounds of it. So they basically wrapped him in cotton wool until game time. So hopefully he can pull up okay for the Carlton game.
Yeah, I think because we've got the bye, I think if they can just push him through, knowing that he's going to have a rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drop Phillips. If he's fit, he can play. Probably not. It'll be a different role to what Phillips is playing, because Phillips is almost playing, you know, just 10 minutes a quarter in the ruck only. And a bit, and I don't know, he's been shit down forward as well, hasn't he? Nah, fuck him off. Get rid of him. I like the guy. He's it's a good story and everything else. But if we've got 2 meter Peter, I'd rather a bit of 2 meter Peter in the ruck than Phillips.
And maybe getting Wiedemann on the ball might help his confidence a bit more.
Yeah, thinking the same thing. Maybe a bit of a run around in the middle. Get a few touches, get some confidence back.
2 meters will solve all these problems. I'm telling you.
He is, mate. He's the new saviour.
All of a sudden, Wiedemann's getting the second, maybe third, because maybe Langford gets the second or Stringer. He's getting the third nobody defender on him. He'll be back. Just get that big ginger man in the team. Just get him back ASAP.
Yeah.
But I still think we'll lose in saying all that.
Carlton, really?
Carlton have penciled this in as a win, and it worried me in that Guelphy interview post-game. You know what he said when asked about the game next week against Carlton? Oh, first thing he said, oh, yeah, we know they've been under the pump. And I thought to myself, why? Why are they focusing on under the pump? They should go in. That Carlton are at the top of their game, not under the pump, not that North Melbourne are bottom of the ladder, because that psyche subconsciously starts to set in, and they think, oh, Carlton will miss this goal. They'll miss this goal, and they don't, and they won't.
Well, maybe this is a good thing that we were so shit today at times, because give the rocket up the arse this week.
Yeah, but isn't that what should have happened after last week? Even though it was a 55-point win, didn't we play ordinary or not ordinary enough?
Yeah, no, we, yeah, okay. I think that they would have got the message this week. You know, footballers aren't the brightest cookies in the jar.
Yeah, you're true. You're right. It had to be on the teetering on losing the glory.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, can we just go back to the brightest cookies in the jar? What is going on? What was that?
Well, you're saying I mix metaphors.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's the term?
Autogon with the sharpest tools in the shed.
Well, you still say cookies in the jar, don't you?
I've never heard of that saying.
Oh, fucking hell. I made it up. I told you, I'm not well.
You sound fine to me.
Oh, dear. Yeah, okay, good point. Brightest cookies in the jar.
What does that even mean?
I know. I don't know what you're going for.
probably need a whole podcast just to unpack that.
Yeah. Just so I can divert. I want to have a crack at the Essendon website. North Melbourne VFL already have a match report up, and they've just listed their best players, etc., which is fine. That's them. What Essendon VFL has nothing. How hard would it be to put up a little match report?
Oh, it depends if they're using the same social media person for VFL for AFL.
Clearly not.
Yeah. I've actually had a few issues with the online posting of Essendon. We've had a few spelling mistakes come up. Some of the graphics are almost completely illegible. You can't read them. Some of the font they choose. Hmm. And it's just like, so guys, come on, like,
it's way too
get on top of this.
It's way too Gen Z for me. The vernacular,
yeah,
posting, it's just way too Gen Z. Do I sound like 100 years old? Do I sound like a nana saying that? Architect's nodding at me. All right.
What are we talking about? The match reports? Or are we talking about stuff that comes out on social media?
Social media. Like,
they've had spelling mistakes in like key tweets when the Essendon account has posted. They've had like graphic art. They had a picture of Andy McGrath at the bottom in little writing. They had Andrew Phillips written underneath his name, underneath his photo.
Didn't someone this week call Andrew McGrath Ash McGrath?
Yeah. Yeah. The commentator.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have a subscription to Grammarly at the very least.
Can I just point out, did anyone know that North had a more experienced side in today than us? I couldn't believe that.
Oh, really? No idea.
That we had 17 players under 100 games. And North had less. That shocked me. I thought they would have been significantly younger in terms of experience, not necessarily age.
We do have a young team.
So I guess, you know, perspective on that is also important as well. Like, it was obvious to me that we lacked, as I said earlier, a wealth of leadership across the ground, because in the moments where we should have stopped, propped, taken some, you know, some air off the moment and off the ball, I thought that they didn't. And, you know, a bit more leadership and a bit more experience and connection and chemistry will change that happening.
I think the other point with the like the forward line, like the back line, they've been together for a little while, for years. Right. And the mids, whilst we've got some young guys in, you know, normally with the main three or four, like we've had a core group there. The forward line, every year it's different.
Exactly.
And so those guys haven't had any time to gel together whatsoever.
Christina's preaching learnings again.
Oh, God, sorry.
But it's valid because we're on the Brad Scott train, so it's allowed. Yeah. It's allowed.
Yeah.
And he's never used that word. He's never used that word.
Yeah, true. True. It won't be long. We've blown off course a little bit. All right, let's just work out. No. We needed it. We just like Essendon, we're just going to scrape through with the 4 points, I think, at the end of this podcast. All right, give me your predictions. You start, Christina.
I hate giving predictions. Oh, God, it's probably going to be another close one. Us by 4 points.
Oh, can you imagine? What are you, architect?
I'd like to be that positive. I don't know, the last few weeks, we look horribly out of form. I just hope Carlton are horribly out of form next week. I reckon they'll beat us by 10.
What minute mark are you going to leave the ground?
3 minutes into the first quarter.
Yeah, it's a Carlton home game, isn't it?
It is.
At least we won't have. We'll be able to watch free to air Essendon.
7 o'clock on a Sunday. I know it's a long weekend, but still.
No, isn't it Saturday night?
Saturday night.
No, it's Sunday, isn't it?
Let me check.
Is it Sunday? Oh.
Sunday at 7:40.
Really?
Yeah.
The King Eve. King's birthday Eve.
Yeah.
Because that is now a thing.
Fucking King's birthday. I mean, I'm all for the public holiday, but God, anyway.
No, I fuck public holidays. Sole traders don't get public holidays, so fuck public holidays.
Yeah, no, fuck you. I need my public holiday.
I'll take that. I'll take it.
Yeah, that is weird. 7 o'clock on a Sunday.
They're shit time.
That does give them 9 days to stew over their loss, I guess. And at least we've got the full week. What do you think, Fiona?
I'll think we'll lose.
Cool.
And I'm not 100% certain if it'll be comprehensive or it'll be close, but right now I probably sit at maybe 12 points, maybe 13, so we know it's unachievable when it gets to the, you know, 2, 3, 5 minute mark. We know it's so, you know, architect can leave and stuff, you know.
it's not as far to go from the couch to the bedroom, all right? So I can hang around right to the end.
Okay, so you're not going, so that's a nice easy one. Yeah, okay, but yeah, I think it's a loss. Maybe possibly say that to protect the heart a little bit. I think 2 meter Peter coming in might. We'll see at Fiona's forecast. With his inclusion, I might be flipped around. The big ginger man has that effect.
Mm. He does have that effect on people. You know what? MCG, last time we were there, played some decent footy. Did Richmond won today, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I reckon we might win.
And just like that, he leaves the call.
Yep.
He just quit. That's it. We'll win. And
that was done. That felt like a mic drop. I think we might win. Mic drop.
Are we still I'm still recording.
Still recording.
Is it recording?
Yeah, it's a sign in the corner saying recording.
Oh. So while he's not here, feel free to speak your minds, what you really think about him.
Yeah, well, you missed it, but I already told him what a precious weak son of a bitch he was today for staying home. I'm as sick as a dog. I can barely breathe. And he stayed home because he had a sniffle. I went to the gap.
Yeah. It was a bit of the man flu, was it? I'm dying.
Yeah, it summed up the Y chromosome and the X chromosome in one fell swoop today. That is absolute for certain. He said, he texted me, saying, I've got a bit of, I'm not going. I'm still unwell. He looks perfectly fine to me, just confirming for you listeners.
I mean, he always does sound kind of nasal anyway, doesn't he?
He probably wanted to stay home, sit on the couch with his, you know, knitted blanket over the lap, have a nice warm cup of tea while he watches the footy.
Sorry, correction, hot chocolate. It was a nice warm cup of hot chocolate.
Thanks for joining us, Solution.
I'm back.
Did you get a toilet break, was it? Mid-podcast.
That's professional. That's very professional.
I reckon KO's, like, trying to get revenge. KO is now, like, become
he's infiltrated your stream.
It's become aware. We have to get the Winstock 2000 to battle it, maybe.
You've got KO awareness,
yeah. Speaking of which, how's his I know he went into the workshop this week, architect, to work on his Tourette settings. How's that going?
Well, it should be better. So what we've done is we've amped the setting up to 11.
Okay, good.
For the next podcast.
he's expletive riddled rant on KO did make me laugh last week when I was listening back. I don't know what point did I drop out? I've got no idea.
You did your expectations and then dropped the mic and walked off.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to win 20 points. Yes.
Done the positivity.
I think Waller will come back in. I think obviously Shear will be out. That's a good question.
Will Shear be right to go again, or will he be out?
No, I think he'll be out. I think he's injured. He's listed as injured with a calf. That's not a good sign.
That's 4 weeks.
Yeah, so I think Phillips out for 2 metre. And I think Waller will probably come in. I'm not sure quite sure for whom yet.
Will that be
for Shield? Sorry?
Will that be for Shield?
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that makes our side better. 2 metre makes us better. Again, not just because of what he can do, but what he does to the structure. And then we've been doing all right without him. So go Bombers. You guys are looking at me like I'm just stupid.
Maybe it's the flu or cold that you've got. It's just stopping the blood flow to the brain.
Never
blood going up there, that's for sure. Well, anything else anyone wants to bring up, or do we just end it?
Nice to win, at least, over North.
That's nine in a row?
That's good.
I want to give a shout out to one of the most joyful moments of the game was the half volley Falcon to Menzies in the first. That was just a beautiful moment. It brought me so much joy.
I'll tell you what.
Is that deemed an effective disposal?
Well, it set up a goal. It was a goal.
Should be. He's obviously got a hard head. It looks like a hard head too. It's kind of a big noggin.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Moorcroft about him, I reckon. I've said it before, just the way he runs, arse low to the ground, big head. Mm. Oh, speaking of which, Durham almost took the mark of the century.
Oh, did he not hold that mark?
No, there was one he got up high, super high.
Yeah, I thought he had one screamer, no?
No, that was Ridley.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, Ridley took a great mark. Durham would have taken, that was a car that he dropped. If do they still give cars these days?
They do.
Well, that was a car that he would have won. He was up high.
Okay.
But, all right, well, we're petering out. Well, thank you to everyone that listened. Something about cake. 60-hour week. Do you really want our listeners to be placing orders?
I was thinking that. Please, no more cakes. But no, of course I do. I am just, I'm exhausted and unwell at the minute, so I can't think of anything worse than doing a cake. But no, definitely book.
Yep. Log on.
Mixed messaging there, but book.
Any shows to plug, Christina?
No, I'm having a little break at the moment, so going on my mid-season break.
Nice. And Architect, any upgrades you want to shout out? any uplift?
I'm tempted to upgrade his broadband so he gets less shitty about his KO, but I don't know. I think the listeners enjoy it with his rants, so maybe not.
Yeah, the funniest bit was that when he said he actually went to, he tried to call the KO help desk. I could have told him that was a dead end.
Do they even have a number you can call?
Apparently. No, I'm sure they're bots. All right. Well, on that note, big game next week. So thanks to everyone that listened. Don't forget, usually Friday, Fiona's forecast will be out. So don't forget, that's where you make your money. If you had a bet Essendon to win by less than 20 points this week, or 19 points or whatever that that line is. You would have cleaned up again.
No, well, I didn't really come to the party. I think I predicted a bit more. I think you get the chockies on that one, Solution.
Who was the Sitting Joe and Smoking Joe again? Do you remember?
I picked Menzie, and he had a good game as the Smoking Joe. Who did you go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's why I said Redmond, but
yeah, he wasn't great.
He wasn't great, no.
So we
no,
both
he was a blow car.
Yeah, we both won out. I failed on the first goal to a North player. So really, we kind of broke even, I think. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think there was still money to be found. So anyway, yeah. Check that out. So thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go, Bombers. Bye.